There we go. We're so good. Next time I speak here, we're going to have a run through. Anyway, you don't walk, okay? Anyway, so you come down there and you find all these fireworks that didn't go off, and you know, cherry bombs, and you find a pocket knife. One guy actually found a $5 bill, which in 1963 was a big deal. And so you look forward to it. You look forward to July 4th, but we also look forward to July 5th. On that note, July 5th was going to be a Sunday. It was either 9 or 10 years old, and July 5th would be a Sunday. I grew up in the Mount Carmel Baptist Church. And my mom had this funny sort of arrangement with God. She had a bargain with God in that if we were good during the week, and if we were really good on, what was that, Saturday, if we were good on Saturday, we wake up the next morning to pancakes and a big breakfast and all day off. If we weren't good that week, especially Saturday, we woke up to, you guys are going to church. She used it as behavior modification. Yeah. And it's funny because my brother and I both wound up to be pastors, so I guess he must have talked somehow. But anyway, so July 5th is going to be on a Sunday, so I made sure that I was extra good that day so I could get up early in the morning. I don't know whether it was we were so good as kids or my mom and dad were exhausted from July 4th, but I got to go out and search for all that treasure. Bargaining with God. She had a fun, hers was funny. But it's being human, it's hard not to bargain with God. Let's admit it. We live in a 40-hour week where we work. Bargain with employers, we bargain with our careers. It is hard to live in an environment of 40 hours a week and suddenly turn it off when we talk about not bargaining with God. It's a little toxic once. I worked with community services, as you know, and we're setting up a new community service center. And one well-meaning guy came up, good guy, but he told me if these guys would just accept Christ and live according to Scripture, God would not curse them. That was hard to hear. If they just got their lives together, you know what? This is much better. I'm going to. I didn't touch anything, really. Okay, good. Pancakes tomorrow morning? If they would just accept Christ and live according to Scripture, God wouldn't curse them. That was hard to hear. Grady, that was really hard to hear. Especially knowing how many believers we were serving at the time, too. And I remember years ago, I had a well-meaning member coming up. Her heart was broken. She said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. She'd been baptized about a year before. And he said, the evangelist told me that if I accepted Christ, none of these problems would show up again. Bargaining with God. Keep that in mind. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray right now that our hearts will be knit together, that those around us are knit together in you. We lift this time up. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. It's just a knock at the door. This couple opened up the door and said, excuse me, but you need to come with us. It's the Pharisees, and they need you now. Both mom and dad left immediately, and they're wondering, Pharisees, what do they want with us? They wondered, you know, what is it our son? Maybe something about our son. I hope he's okay. I know he's been begging for at the gate for years, but he's blind. He's totally blind. There's nothing else he can do. They walked into the synagogue, and what they saw was stunning. It was unbelievable. They both looked at their son, and their son looked back. Couldn't believe it. Their son, did you catch that? Their son looked back. For the first time in his life, he could see.
In that moment, everything changed. Their son had been blind all his life. He'd been different all his life. He'd been dependent all his life. He'd been even reduced to begging all his life. And now their son looked at his mom and dad. Looked at them. And they just stood there in shock. They were stunned. They were confused. He sees us. Then they got to thinking, well, of course the Pharisees are here, right? Who else but the Pharisees? I mean, if something like that happened here, you would be on the phone to Pastor Greg and Nellie immediately, right? You got to come down here and be with us. Of course the Pharisees are there. It should have been the same. The Pharisees were there. Big day. But where are the handshakes? Where are the high fives? Where are the hugs? Where is he? Oh, way to go. Your son can see. There was nothing, and it just felt wrong. I mean, here they are with their son, eyes wide open, looking around the room, and for the first time in his life, looking at them and everything else around him. He was gazing. Picture this. He was gazing. He'd never seen anything before. People and faces and colors and the furniture and the sun shining in from the window. And he saw it all. But they looked, and he didn't seem quite right either. He should be happier right now. But the Pharisees sat him down and they were questioning him. They were badgering him like he did something wrong. He had one question after another, and then their son did his best. But he was so amazed that he could see. It was like the Pharisees weren't even scaring him. Is this your son? They looked at him. Is this your son? They heard that, their parents should have been thrilled. Proud to answer, is this your son? But the moment he was born, whenever someone asked, is this your son, there was a tone of concern or maybe pity in their voice. But now, is this your son should have been music to their ears. There should be dancing, is this your son? But when the Pharisees asked, is this your son, there was an icy, calculated chill. They felt a fear going back to the day he was born. Back in the days when they wondered, what have we done? Were we unfaithful? Or were we good enough? What could we have done that God would do this to our son? Who sinned? Did we sin? As he went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Who sinned? It was very common back then. If you were blind, or if you're sick, or if you were poverty stricken, it was a curse from God for being unfaithful. It was a curse from God for sinning. Who sinned? His parents. And if you enjoyed health or wealth, it was God rewarding you for faithfulness. Transaction. This is how they were bargaining with God. Matter of fact, they even called it the finger of God. Leprosy in particular was called the finger of God. Picture that. Finger of God. Who sinned that is born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. By the way, it's easy to read this as somehow God created him to be blind so that Jesus could come and heal him. It doesn't, in the original and in the context, it doesn't quite read like that. There are commas here that can be moved. The context in the original makes it just as easy to translate this passage. Who sinned? Neither his man nor his parents, but so that the works of God can be displayed in him, we must work while it's day. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him as long as it is day. We must do something. We can do something while it's day. Let's heal him. Because night is coming and no one can work, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, Jesus spit on the ground. I love this picture. After saying this, Jesus spit on the ground, took it up, got some mud, went over to this guy. Finger of God, by the way. Put mud on his eyes. I don't think the mud cured him or the saliva. In some ways, it's going back to the original creation when God took earth and mud and made it and healed. In other ways, saliva and earth at that time was considered unclean, and Jesus chose something unclean to heal him. Now go down to the pool of Siloam, wash your eyes. And he did just that, walked down, found the pool, washed his eyes. First thing he saw was water. The one thing he did not see, however, was Jesus. Hadn't seen him yet. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So then the man went out and washed, and he came home seeing. And his neighbors noticed it. And those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't that you? Isn't that the guy? Wasn't he begging? Wasn't he blind just a couple minutes ago? Excuse me. Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? And some claimed he was, and others said, nah, he just looks like him. This is unbelievable. It couldn't happen. But he himself insisted, yeah, that's me. That's me. I see you. I don't know if he had a mirror yet. I don't know if he didn't even know what he looked like. Blind from birth. But how are your eyes opened? And he just, I love it. He loves to tell this story in this passage. He said, well, the man they called Jesus made some mud. He knows his name, incidentally, so keep that in mind. The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to the salon and wash. And so I went and washed, and now I can see. I wonder how many people were thinking, oh, man, I've got a pimple. Maybe I'll just put some mud on to get out and wash. Or I've got a blemish here. I wonder how many people went down to the pool and washed just to see if it would work. No, that's not in here. The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, and so I went and washed, and then I could see. And then asked, where is this man? I don't know. Can you imagine the mystery that's going on? So they brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was what? How dare he? There's even speculation the reason he used the mud and saliva was to make sure this question would come up. He would just have to go, he would see, right? He didn't have to do that, but he almost did. There's speculation. Maybe Jesus wanted this question asked. Is it right to heal on Sabbath? They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had been born blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked how he received his sight. And he couldn't wait to tell them, guys, you're not going to believe this. He put mud on my eyes, and I went to the pool to wash, and then I could see, waiting for a, and what did he get? So the Pharisees said, well, this man isn't from God. That was the reaction. Aside from the fact that he's seeing, you would think that would at least get their attention. You know what got their attention? He made mud on the Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him, how did he receive his sight? He put mud on my eyes. The man replied, I washed it, and now I see. No, some of the Pharisees said, this man can't be from God. Does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a sinner perform such signs? So even the Pharisees were divided. I like that because it tells me that there's hope. They were divided. They turned again to the blind man. What do you have to say about him? Who is this guy? And you're going to see this guy's pretty smart. He learned something without being able to read. He said, he's a prophet. He's got to be a prophet. Amen? They still did not, they didn't believe that he had been blind and had received his sight. So they sent for his parents. So they come in. What should have been an absolute party, there should have been balloons if they had them back then everywhere. There should have been at least a potluck, okay? Something. Is this your son? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can see? While they're asking that, this couple, they're looking for anything, compassion or wonder, anything in this Pharisee's eyes. You know, Pharisees should live for this kind of stuff. They should look forward to this kind of stuff. I mean, they lived with it all the time. Excuse me. I mean, the parting of the Red Sea, manna from heaven, God stopping the sun for Joshua, Elijah raising the dead, shutting the mouths of lions. They should live for this kind of stuff. And now a miracle is dropped right at their door. Didn't they get it? And didn't these Pharisees have kids of their own? I mean, what did it happen to one of theirs? Can't this little boy have at least one moment of joy here? After all they've been through, navigating a world that could see and had little hope for anybody who could not. Give them some joy. All their life they're fearing what kind of life their son would lead, stretching and stressing their faith. What kind of God would do this? And then at that very moment, after years of praying and pleading, I'm sure this couple prayed constantly for this. After all those years of pleading, years of doubt and anxiety, walking away in despair, then coming back and begging God one more time, God answered their deepest prayer. And I'm sure during that time they had been pouring their hearts out to these same Pharisees who are now interrogating them like they were criminals. How is this? Is this your son? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he could see? They knew what that question meant. They knew why they were asking it. They knew what was about to happen. They knew that the moment they answered that question, it would be the end. They'd be thrown out of the synagogue. Cut off from family, friends, worship, maybe even God, because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, John said. So this is it. Their son can now see. And they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Their son can see. And the first thing he sees are his parents as cowards. Cowards on trial because of him, his healing, and his miracle. We know he is our son, and we know he was born blind, but how can he see now? Or what opened his eyes? We don't know. We know he's our son, we know he was born blind, but how he can see now or what opened his eyes? We don't know. Ask him. He's of age. There's a reason they answered this question that way. There's a reason they answered this question. They weren't ignorant. Because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That's why his parents said, John, make sure that we know, that's why his parents said, ask him. He is an angel. Don't underestimate how much they gave up with these words. We know he's our son. We know he was born blind. But how it happened, we don't know. We have nothing to do with it. Ask him. It was enough to feel like a coward, but it looked like they were abandoning their son, too. Is this why I gave him his sight? Is this why God gave him his sight? So he could see his parents' pain? To see them not only throw away the joy of their own hearts, but to take away their son's joy, too? Ask him! Guys, how can that not sound like we want no part of this? You're on your own now, son. How can that not look like that? You know, we've all had moments that we wish we could live over again. Right? We all have had those times we wish, say, we could live it over again. I wonder if that wasn't one for them. If I could undo this, if I could just undo this. Because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. I wonder why. They saw the miracle. They knew their son could see. The Pharisees saw the miracle too. They knew it. They knew it. They must have seen the joy in their hearts. They must have seen the joy on their faces. God answered a mother's prayer. God answered a young man's deepest desire. God answered a father's wavering faith. Why does his family have to fear their own Pharisees? Remember, 2,000 years ago, a Pharisee was like pastor. Why do they have to fear them? Who had already decided that anyone who would acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. I got to wondering, what if that synagogue was even the same after this for them? After all this, was that synagogue the same when they went back? Did worship seem the same? What about their friends? Knowing their son, knowing what happened. How can this synagogue not remind them of their son's healing and the fear that it I wonder if it was worth it. I wonder how they related to their son after this. And I wonder if they left that day thinking again, whose son, who sinned? Was it us or our son? Well, the second time they brought him back. A second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. They said, Give glory to God by telling the truth. This was kind of an oath they used to take. You're under oath now, son. Give glory to God by telling the truth. We're tired of this, whether or not you're born blind. We're tired of this miracle stuff. Let's tell the truth. A second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth. They said, we know this man is a sinner. Talking about Christ. They had already made up their mind. Couldn't have been. Couldn't have happened. But he replied, this guy's smart. He may have been born blind, but this guy was sharp. Listen to this. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. I love how he just says, I don't know. He says, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Incidentally, that inspired a hymn we love to sing. Amazing, isn't it? I don't know. All I know, I was born blind, but now I see. Then they asked him again. But what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Was there some magic mud there? Are you sure he didn't have something else besides saliva? We got a lot of weird arts out there. Didn't he put something magical in there? Maybe some dragon's breath or something? Come on. Fess up. You weren't really blind, were you? This is all a joke. This is all a hoax, right? How? What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, oh, my favorite part of this whole story. I told you already, and you didn't listen. He's talking to Pharisees now. It's like he has nothing. You know, when you've been blind all your life and a beggar all your life, you have very little to lose, right? I don't think some Pharisees are going to scare you. I told you already. You didn't listen. Do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples too? Oh, come on. We're going to laugh at that one. You want to be a disciple? Sure. Hey, that's what it sounds like to me. This guy's got nothing to lose. He's talking to Pharisees right now. True to form, they hurled insults at him and said, you are this guy's disciple? We are disciples of Moses. John opened up this entire book by saying, the law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We're disciples of Moses. We don't know anything about this other guy. They hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple? We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this guy, we don't even know where he comes from. And amazingly, neither did the guy who was born blind. He hadn't even seen him yet. So the man answered. Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know. Now he's schooling Pharisees right now. You talk about nerve. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. That same transaction, that same bargaining with God, he learned it well and he's turning it back on them. We know God doesn't listen to sinners. Actually, the truth is, God does listen to sinners. But he's using their arguments against them. God doesn't listen to sinners. He will listen to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Then the silence must have been deafening. I'm sure there was a moment of, he's talking to us. We've got nothing to say except to this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? You know, when someone does that, they've lost the argument, right? When someone does that, you've lost. You might as well just pack it up. Unfortunately, they packed him up. And they threw him out. You know, at least when this guy was blind, he had hid family. No more. He had their love and support. No more. I mean, at least he had a spiritual family, those who he grew up with in the synagogue. At least he had a place and a purpose and support. Even though he was begging, people there knew him. He had a place. Believe it or not, it wasn't a good place, but he knew where he was. He had a place, purpose, he had support. He had community. And driving him out of the synagogue meant he lost it all. Family, support, community, and he was really alone. And for the first time, he could see how alone he was. And an even bigger tragedy is that his mother and father are not in the story anymore. They are purposely left back at the synagogue. Heartbreak. Purposely left there. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he, big word, found him. First off, Jesus sought him out. We started this story where they were just, as they walked along, he saw him the first time, remember? They were just kind of walking along, and there he was. This time, Jesus is looking for him. Jesus heard he had been thrown out and was looking for him. So he went out, looked, and he found him. Oh, by the way, it's no accident that John 10 has the Good Shepherd. That's written on purpose. The Good Shepherd in John 10, I am the Good Shepherd, is actually an explanation of this story. It's one big monologue. This is the story that Jesus comments on when you read John 10 and the Good Shepherd. Jesus heard they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "No, do you believe in the Son of Man?" I love that. He heard that he'd been thrown out. When he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Ask him only one question. One question. Do you believe in the Son of Man? "Who is he, sir?" man asked. Remember, the last thing he felt was mud, spit. That was all his relationship with Christ at the time. "Who is he?" "Who is he, sir?" the man said. "Tell me." He asks a hearing question, by the way, because all his life he had accessed everything by hearing. "Tell me. Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus answered with a seeing question. Jesus said, "You have now seen him." In fact, and I love this, he must have done this with a smile, with a little grin on his face. He's the one who's talking to you now. Oh. Amen. Thank you. What a thing to see. He started off seeing water, then he saw tragedy. Now, look what he sees. "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you now." And then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. He was asked one question. Bear in mind, I wonder, where did he get this other stuff? Maybe he's heard some sermons as a kid in the synagogue, but he couldn't read. He probably learned a lot at home, or faith was taught everywhere all the same anyway. Just one question. Tell me who he is. You are seeing him right now. And he worshiped. Thank you for saying amen. That's in your heart. You just go, that's enough. He saw Jesus. He saw God. He saw that it was enough. He worshiped. And he was now knowing he would never be alone. "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." First of all, that word judgment, it means clarifying. It's not like judgment. It's I come here to reveal something. I come here to clarify something. "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind, those who know they need something, who know they're lacking something, so that the blind will see." They know they need some miracle from God. They need something from God. "So that the blind will see, and those who see," those who assume they know it all, so some who actually think that God is lucky to have them because they're so well-schooled and articulate, spiritual, will become blind because they don't need it. Again, God is lucky to have you. We'll become blind. And some Pharisees who were with them heard him say this, and they asked, "What? Are we blind too?" By the way, this is sarcasm. In Greek, this is written as sarcasm. What are we blind to? Jesus said, if you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty of sin. In other words, if you're truly unaware of how spiritually ignorant you are, I'll spot you that. I understand. You don't know any better. You wouldn't be guilty of sin. But now that you claim, that you can see, your guilt remains. So who sinned? This man or his Pharisees? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we go through life being so human that we bargain with you without even knowing it. It is so easy to do that. And Father, I thank you that through that you give us grace and mercy by putting on our hearts how much more we need of you. And Father, I pray that through our own blindness, you'll teach us what it means to ask, teach us what it means to reach out, teach us what it means to realize that we have blind spots in our life and that you will wash them clean. If we acknowledge it, reach out and let you work a miracle in our lives as well. And for this we thank you. We graciously thank you and we worship you in Jesus' name.